Fort Knocking, very good, very good. Fort Knocking. Fort Knocking is where, in order to log in, you go in, you hit a port, you hit another port, you hit another port, and you do them in a certain order. And then you go to the port, you know, it's 2, 3, 4, whatever times. It's configurable.
In RF, it's sort of what you call spread spectrum, you know, initiation, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, basically you hit several different ports or a number of ports in a certain order within a certain time period, then it opens up that port, port 22 or whatever it be, to the IP that has touched those ports. So it's a pretty cool idea. I mean, the chances of somebody being, and the thing is that port 22 will be closed until you hit that right number. And even if they go to those ports, it's not going to answer. It's just going to say it's dropped.
I'm understanding what you're saying, the process. What is? I don't understand why.
Well, you want to have port 22 open. You want to have a particular port that you can connect up to. But you are paranoid as a blackbird in front of a cat. So you put in port knocking. Port knocking means whenever I want to get into this machine on that particular port, I will send a sync or a SIM packet to these ports. You know, they can be 65.142.22.042 and then 31.043. In that and in a certain order, and when the computer sees that certain order of ports being having the same packets sent to them, it records the IP. And if it's the same IP that goes to those ports in the correct order, then it then opens up that port.
It's like a modem callback?
There you go. Well, you got a callback.
That would be made it do a connect back shell instead of just opening 22 or something.
It's like POP before SMTP. So if you have to, like, you know, with a mail server where you have to authenticate to the POP server before you can send mail out, it's the same idea. You have to authenticate by sending a certain sequence of connections before you can even connect to SSH or whatever service you're trying to, so that it doesn't look like you're running SSH to most people, and you don't have to run a VPN, you know, you don't have to make sure that you've opened up, you know, a certain IP that you're, you know, maybe if you're going to be another country or another state, and you don't know what IP address you're going to be coming from, but you want to be able to get back into your system. You don't have to leave it wide open, but you don't have to know what IP you're coming from, and you don't have to run VPN.
We use this illustration.
So is this a package? Port
Knocking? There's something called NotKey.
NotKey.
The only issue with that is if wherever you're at, filtering outbound, and they're filtering whatever outbound packets that you need to land at your server for your key sequence.
Yeah. So. Okay. I mean, the idea is these blackboards, so I've got it set up so if I knock on the middle of the blackboard 3 times, on the end blackboard 2 times, and then I walk up here to the one I really want to go to and knock, dot, 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 dot. The kid on the inside says, yes, Dad, and opens the door for him.
Yeah. But he won't respond. Then you say, friend, that sequences.
Right.
Okay.
So that's one way of doing it. Kind of hard. Yeah, like you said,
no idea.
There are problems with it in the fact that you got to have that available. You got to be able to do it, so you got to get out. So the approach I took with our snapshot is that in the SSH, first of all, you can go in and tell it what things that root can do. You can tell whether root can log in or can't log in, authorize commands.
And you also have to tell it what the daemon is going to be listening for.
And what you're going to do, first of all, is you're not going to have root to be able to put password in.
Well, I was going to ask this. Why don't we show them how to do it with password and then show
them? Well, that's how I do it first, with password, and then you come back. But one of the first things you want to do is you want to get a key, private public key. Now, using the private public key, is you have a private key that would encrypt the connection going there. You give the other side has your public key that they have. All right? So
they're a paired key set.
Yeah. Paired key set. So you can encrypt it with this one and decrypt it over here. However, you can't go the other way around. So they you open up a connection with this private public key, and that way you have a connection without giving a password. The next step up with that is actually adding a passphrase to it, is the next step. Those of you who saw that little square when my machine was coming up, I have a short passphrase that I put in there. So even if they steal my private key off of a computer, they still have to know what the passphrase is, what I type in.
So you do use passphrase?
Yes, I do.
How do
for
you do that?
For human interaction, not for data. Actually, yes, you can. It's very convoluted and far beyond my weak and feeble mind.
Well, the problem is if your box reboots, you have to go in and do it before your backups work, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, with everything he just described, I just uncommented the host RSA key. For the sake of the session, I'm going to leave permit root login. I don't know if we're going to do a root login or if we'll just do an account to account.
If you got anything valuable on your
laptop, let
me go.
I'm going to right here we'll uncomment the public authentication pub key, and we'll also the authorized key is what we'll uncomment.
Typically your authorized key file is in a file, and this is in
on the home.
Your home directory. There'll be a .ssh where your private public keys will be kept for storage. Your private keys used from there, and then there's a file called authorized keys. This is on the other machine that you're connecting to. You take your public key and put it in this authorized keys file, and it's going to look up and say, okay, I got a connection here, this is the key they're using, I've got that key, cool, let them in without typing in a password.
Ideally, the authorized keys file should not be created with VIM, because you could actually add artifactual information using. You should use touch to create this file.
Correct. Yeah.
What program?
Touch.
Touch. You just simply start the file.
All you're doing is creating a file with zero bits.
Okay.
And then.
So there's no end of file like in VIM or anything.
And then do you use?
Now, I've been going with that myself, but I have. Heard that. I'm a lazy SOB and I use VI. But usually I touch authorized key and the VI to add key. Actually, I just cap the public file into there. You know, that tends to work for me. But I do use VI with some two different machines. I'll cat it, one machine. I will use X and Cotton. Highlight, copy, go over, edit, paste, boom.
There are two better ways to do that. The one is SSH-copy-ID. This comes with current versions of OpenSSH.
SSH-copy. It
will actually copy from your source to your destination. You'll have to type in your password that time. And it will basically copy your public key to the remote machine's authorized keys file.
SSH copy.
And it's one command. Copy dash ID.
Dash ID.
Yeah.
And the argument is just whatever.
Now will it ask for the particular key you're trying to?
You can
send
specify
over
an identity file with dash I, and then you specify user
so
address.
So there's a dash I for a
identity.
Unique identifier.
And it looks like SSH add dash L. Let's
see. SSH ask pass.
SSH add-l is what it will use as its identity, as its default identity.
And you're always passing a public key to the
SSH add
dash capital L, which lists your identity files.
Capital L. And that does.
It's SSH add.
Okay.
All right.
I didn't think it was right. SSH add, all one word?
With a dash in it.
Dash.
Okay. But that's just how to get your list of identities.
Oh, okay. I didn't know about that. All right.
Is that documented in man page, or does it have to be infos?
There is an SSH copy ID.
I used SCP, which is just fine. All you do is, if you have an extra step, you got to create the authorized keys file, and then you cap the public key into the authorized keys file.
Yeah, my Mac does not have SSH copy ID, so you got to do it manually.
Okay, is that reasonably easy to see? Let's see if we got man, SSH, dash copy, dash ID. Cool, all right. See?
So that's, I guess we're at a point where we can create the key.
It also says it fixes the permissions.
So yeah, you better make a key before you can use.
Yeah, it does.
So you don't even do 0600 on permissions and everything.
There's also SSH key scan, which will let you scan the whole set of IDs and put the keys in your known host file.
The public keys, you mean?
SSH dash key scan, yeah. To put the public key signatures in your own. So if you've got a whole bunch of hosts and you know you're going to be SSHing too,
see, I was happy with how far I got. See, I'm going on to the next step.
Yeah, so that should be really easy. Maybe I could do like six at a time.
Yeah, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. I mean, this is something that I do on a daily basis, and I didn't know about any of this. I'm going to have to remember that. That would definitely come handy. Yeah.
One quick note, just as a security concern, if you're doing this, if you're using old keys, any key, I guess, what was it? A year and a half or whatever, all the Debian keys are suspect. They're easily breakable.
Are you referring to the RS, I mean the...
any open SSH keys created...
So version 1 or version 2?
It was the
maintainer, the downstream maintainer for the Debian package made a change that introduced a flaw, an encryption flaw.
Yeah. They saw a compiler warning, they went to get rid of it by uncommenting something, and uncommenting that got rid of all entropy in the key. So the only randomness involved in the key was the process ID, which there's only, 65,335 possibilities. So
dictionary.
Yeah.
Off you go.
Well, they had basically like rainbow tables for it, where you could just log into any Linux box that has these keys as authorized keys. And less than 30 seconds. Make new keys and update your boxes.
Well, anytime you did an update with Debian over the last year and a half, it installed, as part of the update, it complained about
which version of SSH you were running.
Oh, it did have some
standard
keys or something.
Yeah. Yeah, most of all my boxes.
So it could actually identify the key itself.
Yeah, all the key. Well, there's only so many keys. There's I think it installs a package that blacklists them now as well. Like any of those keys that were generated won't allow you to use them in OpenSSH.
That's cool.
Right.
So we're going to make a key. You know, we talked about keys and all the different things. It's very, very simple. At the bare minimum, use command
Can you change that font again? It's just kind of screwy.
Yes, I can. Want to make it larger?
Yeah, perfect. Oh, perfect.
Is that good? Okay.
Yeah.
So, can't see that. Okay, so this control L, and the command is SSH-QGIN. Yeah, you can get real fancy with this.
I like minus T.
Yeah, minus T, it's going to go to default RSA, and you can tell it by dash T is type. And there.
Give it a name right away, too. My machine's name is Tasha, basically.
I'm sorry?
The machine's name is Tasha, if you were identifying, labeling your key.
Oh. Well, how do you do that? Dash what?
Well, you got it. Dash T. Just put ID, or put Tasha, underscore, top, dash is fine, it's Tasha, ID, underscore, RSA.
I thought the dash T was what kind you use, whether it was RSA, DSA.
It's not dash T, is it?
That's what I read when I was setting them up, and it's worked for me, so I wasn't going to.
Will just make it ask you since you're not supposed
to. Yeah, it ask is what it does. But that's the name I use.
It's got the syntax.
Uh-oh.
And you lost your.
I just wanted to look it up real quick, what the dash T was. I thought that was type. Yeah, the HT is type. Not that you could read that, but
The generator, if I'm not mistaken, the default is the RSA.
Yeah, you should use the dash C for the comment, I think.
Seven, come on.
Oh.
One more away, Carl.
Lost your video.
I mean, you can do it at this point by just typing in SSH dash keygen, but you can add comments. Different levels of encryption. I think the base encryption is what, 512?
1024 for version 2.
Okay. But you can tell it to use 4096, really paranoid. Which, when they do quantum computing here in another couple of years, we'll all have to be very paranoid. Yes?
In the SSH keys, table that it keeps, it can either have them by IP number or by host name. How do you designate that when you generate them?
Well, in this case, I use the name, so that would have an IP associated with it. But
for RSA keys, the default is 2048.
Is what?
2048.
2048, okay.
Oh, is that what it said?
At least on OpenSSH 5.
Okay. I thought I read it. It could be an old man page, too, I read.
Yeah, well, I'm an old man, so I have a key on 12.
We'll generate your key, I'll print it out, we'll see it.
Okay, so let's hit enter, unknown key type, that's what I thought.
Well, that worked out, huh?
I think it's something else. All right, let's go back. I think what you were talking of is dash C. Dash C, am I correct?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
that's fine.
Okay, now we're going to enter the file. At this point, we can change the name of the file, and I'm just going to do .slash Tasha underscore ISA. Type? No, I can't. Anybody watching what I'm doing here? I'm not. Okay, so we're going to just put it in this here instead of overwriting my inner passphrase. At this point, you can put in a passphrase that's what, 256 characters. But obviously, someone far more advanced at typing than me would use all those up. Or I would do it if I really wanted to get frustrated and say, come on, we're going to
type. The main thing to remember about a passphrase is it doesn't have to follow a lot of the same rules as you have for a password.
Mary had a little lamb.
Yeah,
just write
it. English phrase, have punctuation, whatever.
Yeah, we can also omit the passphrase.
The longer the passphrase, the harder it is to crack. So make it a really long passphrase, kind of like my talks up here, you know. Yes.
I really liked your idea of putting the host name in the beginning of the passphrase or
that's
password.
Serious idea, I like that.
Actually, I thought of using a numbering system of some sort, and then you have a table somewhere.
Well, that's what we've got for...
That tells you what the number is in relation to...
Of course, if somebody puts a keyword,
they would know what machine it is.
Or if they use one of those things that listens to your keystrokes and can figure out what you're typing, then you're in trouble.
So let's do that. Let's do the best one. Let's just send a typewriter. And let's go right into your bag. Click OK.
Oh, this is best.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. Okay, so let's go to Tech and Core. So we're just going to see that I've logged in there. I got a little thing with Core that every time somebody logs in, it fires off email to root that somebody's logged in. We may not be able to do it. Right. This thing.
It's terribly slow.
Yeah, like I said, we're in the basement. So let's
I was just going to say,
it's interesting because I'm getting between 1 and 2 megs now.
Are you going through which one?
Sprint.
Oh, okay. Well, I've got AT&T.
And it could be where your repeater towers are.
Yeah, and it could be this car is getting busted up. I got to get a new one. Yeah, it reminds me, I need to call AT&T and cancel my warranty. They charge you $5 a month for warranty on those cards. And then when it goes bad, you got to call someplace, and then they mail it to you, and they charge you $50.
What?
I found a card on eBay for $35. Okay, do I look like Joe... Do I look like a chump? Don't answer that question. Okay. So we put in a fast phrase here. It can be something quick, easy, long, a sentence, whatever. The longer, it's like any compression, the longer you make it, the safer it is. So if you're really paranoid, it's Mary had a little lamb, please just let us know, okay? But for me, it's just...
Just remember, the NSA has psychotropic drugs and ball peen hammers. They pretty much work just as well as any super.
Yeah. There you go. So,
battery clips
you
know,
too. Do this for something such as our snapshot, where you're going to connect up, having a daemon. If you enter a passphrase here, then when that machine boots up and reboots in the middle of the night because that lightning storm, then you get to run into the office and answer this phrase before the computer will go any further. So don't do that. Hit enter. Enter passphrase, or you can use SSH AskPass, which means that you're going to answer SSH AskPass. So if we're doing a daemon, I'm going to say no passphrase. So now it's conceived of this, and by God, I hope it put it in this directory. It did. Uh-huh. But I named it something else. So we can see here, we've got Tasha_RSA. TashaRSA.pub. And of course, what does the pub mean? Private public keys here.
That's the public one.
It's the one you're giving away.
The public key is the one you hand out. The private one you want to keep personal. How close and personal?
And you can have multiple public keys.
Now, you see that it automatically creates them as 600 for the private key, and then 640 on the public key. So that means that they got to be able to read them when you go out there. But inside your personal area, you want that only readable by you and nobody else. You can't block root, but you can block everybody else from messing with your private key. Because that's one way to really cause somebody a lot of frustration, especially when they do it, is to accidentally overwrite your old private key with a new key, and now you can't get to new servers because you turned all your servers' password authentication off on your servers. Ask me how you know that. Luckily, Lee, I keep another copy of this on core. Which, by the way, are we core yet? Oh, there we go. So we just got an email saying somebody's on core. Core is our backup server. Anybody logs in anytime with core, it pops an email out saying where they are. Basically, it doesn't last. It takes the time frame long to last. It sends it. So what we... This may not be useful.
What machine? Have you done this on your laptop or are you doing this on your phone?
On core.
Oh, okay. All of it has been done on core?
Well, core is a backup server, so I've got our snapshot set up there. Let's see if my type
of work. I didn't know you were going to jump into that.
Oh, okay. All right, turn the tide. Like and again, this is OpenBSD 4.0. It's ancient. I know we got to update it, but it works. You know, it works for what are we doing? So now, so we've got the public-private key. We're going to go in and we're going to put the private key. It's typically in .ssh as ID underscore RSA. Like we did here is we named it for the machine, and so we're gonna ls tr. They don't remember what I named the directory. I named the directory as a dot something. .vi or .emacs or something like that. What's going on? Anyhow, so you have a unique key that we made for Tasha. So Sprint's got a good fast signal, huh? My contract's coming pretty close to due on this thing.
I've been avoiding other checklists that way.
Okay, so we've got Tasha, RSA. At this point, what I need to do is I need to get it over to Tasha, correct?
Correct.
Is that what you want to do next? All right.
You're going to pass me it? You want to put it, you want it in root?
All right, let's use one of these.
No, I don't, oh, if you want. Here's my password, so we don't have to talk about
it. Okay.
Or root.
That's a long supercalifragilistic.
Well, it's changed. The names and faces were changed for this, okay?
Okay, so we're going to SSH GStudio?
No, for root, if you want to put it in root.
Oh, root.
Yeah. I opened everything up just to do this.
Root.
Oh, well, maybe. It may not work, you're right.
And what
I didn't think about it, I didn't do it.
How do I get there? IP address?
Right here. Let's see, it's 131, I thought. Well, we changed, so. And actually, root's probably, yeah, I just thought.
Action refused.
I didn't save this file, and I didn't restart the server.
Oh, that's okay. Yes, anytime we make changes in SSHD underscore config, SSHD underscore config is for the daemon. That's the listing. SSH underscore config is for the client. At OmniTech, we use a different port than 22. Again, security by obscurity is one of the things. Not only that, but just in case you want to know, no root, wrong port, no password, passphrase only, blah, 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 blah. So we make a repeat to get into their servers, mostly because they just have a plain sight on my desk through the door.
You can try it. And that's 22, wrong port, use your OmniTech port.
Don't look at this. If you see this, I will have to kill you.
It's already in my config files.
I don't know, I can trust all you guys. So the password is supercalifragilistic. Okay, so now you're here.
Heck, I even got the same user.
Can we use the set SSH?
You got the same password, right?
His username.
Not the IAT.
User C fit.
Okay. All right. Now, one of two ways we do this. We're going to cd SSH.
You
got to
get it. Oh, you know what? I've never, go ahead and create. I've never used root in this sheet before.
Directory. Now, typically, most distributions, Linux, will make this file for you, this directory for you.
If you do,
we're going to change this to.
You got a typo.
Yep. See, that's why they had me up typing, because you guys got to watch, because you'll catch something. 2 points, but I need stuff to throw at people, you know, spaghetti or something like that. It's mod 700. Or is it 755? 744? 700.
Yeah, for read, write, execute. And I would say over 700, actually, but that's all right.
Okay, now we're going to see .ssh.
Go ahead and do a touch on authorized keys right away.
I don't know, I'm going to spell that.
I got it.
Let me tell you now.
Yeah, and now do a change mod on the echo 600.
Let me tell you. You know how hard it is when you flip the numbers around? You know, there's scientific proof that you can, as long as you got all the letters correct,
you can still read
them. You have to have them in the right order, you can still read them. So if you switch the I and the R, you know how many hours you'd spend trying to diagnose that SSH connection?
Similar things like that, different settings.
Yeah.
Doing that with myself.
Some, I don't know if all, but I know some SSH is the directory that holds that SSH must also not have world read.
Oh, and Linux by default.
Yeah, he already did that then.
Well, that would mean, yeah, but for a user directory, your home directory may not be readable by the world. For SSH to work.
Yeah, I, really? Was, yeah, right. I think OpenBSD is that way. And they make it. The directory is not world readable by default.
The home directory?
The home directory. The directory holds the .ssh.
/ home slu.
The reason for that is if, and writable actually, your home directory, if you can modify the home directory, you can replace the .ssh.
Right.
All right, I can understand writable.
Complain about readable as well. And I didn't see the public key in there. Next thing you want to do,
time to go.
You want to change it to 600?
What,
do
we want to
break and see this? Then come back down?
Yes.
Let's go. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All in favor say no. And if you do,
all in favor.
Yeah.